Members of two committees in the House of Representatives have spent a lot of time debating the new health care bill known as the American Health Care Act. The House Ways and Means Committee took 18 hours to approve it, finishing up early this morning. The House Energy and Commerce Committee is still at it more than 24 hours after its hearing started.
Critics of the proposal have been lining up, including Dana Namark, president and CEO of Children's Action Alliance. She calls the measure a sneak attack on Medicaid, which would unravel the federal partnership with states on the program.
We've heard a lot of promises that no one will have the rug pulled out from under them. And really, we see the rug going away and lots of floorboards going away right along with it.
And other healthcare groups have expressed similar concerns. The show's Mark Brody is here with more on that.
Yeah, one of those groups is the Arizona Hospital and Healthcare Association. I recently caught up with its president and CEO, Greg Vigdor, and asked for his take on the bill.
Well, first of all, we're trying to better understand it. It might not be as long as the Affordable Care Act legislation, but it's still long and complicated. And unfortunately, the Congressional Budget Office hasn't offered up an analysis of it yet, which will help, I think, a lot of us, including those that are voting on it, make up their minds about it. But I would say we're concerned by our best understanding of it, and specifically about its impact on patients in Arizona. Our litmus test is usually whether how many of the folks that have gotten coverage through the Affordable Care Act would be covered in some effective way going forward. And our inclination, again, from what we understand, is that we would see a significant retreat from those access protections that have been in place.
What in the bill leads to your concern in that area?
Well, there's a few things. And again, we really need some more information to understand this. And one is that while we appreciate that they've pushed out the start date to January 2020. The question is what happens to all the people that were covered under our Medicaid expansion restoration after then? And I think we really need to see a more clear blueprint of what would happen after that date than just saying you don't have to worry so much about it until then. Another example would be the per capita cap proposal, which on its face is a better idea to us than block grants. But without the budget analysis, we don't know if it's really about Medicaid restructuring and finding efficiencies, all these things we're in favor of and very willing to work on, or whether it's really about cutting the federal contribution to the Medicaid program across the nation into Arizona. And then another example would be the tax credits. Our read of this, again, and what we understand is that it seems like the tax credit approach, the numbers are a little bit too low to really incent the behavior that we want in terms of actually people making decisions to get covered.
Are you specifically talking about getting younger people into the system to help sort of balance out the costs associated with people who have more health problems?
Well, I think it's young and old, just whether tax credit levels of $2,000 for an individual or $4,000 for an individual will be enough to really affect that decision. I think who's in the pool is one of those big overriding questions to see whether the thing can effectively work in terms of spreading risk.
You mentioned Medicaid, and that was obviously a big issue here. That's been a big push for your organization and others to try to make sure that that population can stay covered. How worried are you that some of the folks who have been covered by the recent expansion from a few years ago might lose coverage eventually, at least under this new plan?
Well, I think there's a great worry on our part that we'd see a retreat. I think there's a great worry on a lot of folks' part, including the business community, and we believe our governor that that would happen. Again, they might not like the Affordable Care Act model in its entirety, but some features have worked really well in Arizona, and one is Medicaid restoration, which gave us a method for bringing back in a population that the voters said they wanted to cover, childless adults. And if somehow that goes away, it would have a huge impact, of course, on the people that are covered right now through that, but also on the hospital finances and through that, the state's economy.
During the debate over the expansion here a few years ago, one of the arguments was that without more people being covered by Medicaid, some hospitals, especially those in rural areas, may well shut down because they're just the amount of uncompensated care that they were giving out was too much for them to handle. Under this plan, again, based on your reading of it at this point, do you think that if this plan becomes the new law that we're right back there, or is it maybe something not quite as dire as that?
Well, we'd have, under what we've read, on to 2020 to figure out if we could find a different way of making it work. The impact of Medicaid expansion on hospital uncompensated care in the state has been tremendous. It's over $500 million of a reduction in that, which has really made some hospitals that were really on the edge stable. And many of those are rural hospitals. So we are concerned about that. We try to stay away from scare tactics of suggesting there's going to be closures, but I could almost guarantee there would have to be consideration of service lines and hours and all the things that I think people would find problematic going forward if that's what we got to.
Greg Vigdor is president and CEO of the Arizona Hospital and Healthcare Association.
And that's the show's Mark Brody. Mark, thanks for honoring us with your presence.
My pleasure. Thank you.